Hey, football fan, Dave Bartu here, the CFB Matrix. For this week, a little bit of NFL quarterback draft matrix. I would really encourage you, before you actually go any farther, if you haven't heard and gone through the previous 8 podcasts, which introduce the idea of what I came up with back in 2014, and then a draft round-by-round breakdown of it applied to all the quarterbacks drafted since 2000, I think it's a good place to start. For an example, the last group I talked to this week was an NFL GM, head coach, and offensive coordinator about this system. And we didn't start with the guys on the board. We started with what it was, why, how it worked, and the results. Because when you have a system that over the last 21 years of the NFL draft, you are getting the booms and busts right more than 80% of the time in the first 4 rounds, you got to pay attention to it. But you should understand it first. And rather than me tell you what to expect, or at least how to project the guys in this draft, I love it when I have an idea that I can explain, that you know what I'm going to say before I say it. You should be able to know what I'm going to say about Trey Lance and Fields and Jones and Mills and Trask and Wilson and Lawrence and Newman, White, Ellinger, Book, Franks, Ramsey, Bichelle, and Mond. You know what I'm going to say before I say it, because the system is that simple. So you can go back now and listen to all that stuff, or you can just say, screw it, I want the goods right now. Either way, I'm good with it. I just like trying to get people to learn things and become a more self-sufficient college football fan. Plus, you can apply it to every draft going forward. If you do it right, you'll be the smartest guy that you know in drafting NFL quarterbacks for the rest of your life, because it's been pretty damn dead on for the last 21 years. So, I don't know where we start with this. Do we go alphabetical order? Who knows what? But first of all, there is the worksheet that is attached to the Patreon page. Download that, so we can go through it together. And so I'm looking at it right now. If you have it pulled up, when you have it pulled up, you can pause or whatever. But I have it pulled up right now. The first column has, obviously, as the name of the player, the school they're at. The three columns, these are the three boxes that we're going to try to check. Okay, does the player have the experience threshold that all or most majority of NFL starting quarterbacks have? Yes or no. Quarterback effect, is it positive, neutral, or negative? Yes or no. And then EOS, ease of schedule, the recruiting around the player relative to the recruiting this player is going up against. Is it a positive number or is it a negative number? Yes or no. If the answer is yes on all these boxes, that is the green light. That's the most likely guys to succeed, no matter what round they're drafted. If it's red, these are the guys that are 95% failure over the last 21 years on average. And you'll see a couple of guys in yellow, and I'll get to that. I'll get to that here in a minute. No, what we're going to do is we're going to start with the guys that I have highlighted in the yellow. Brady White, Ian Book, and Peyton Ramsey. The reason I had them highlighted in yellow is pretty neutral on these guys. And two of them, I'm concerned that they are a system quarterback. And if you'd listened to the previous podcast, a system quarterback is someone who comes from a program that has excellent coaching, no matter who is quarterback. Northwestern is one of those. We have seen a lot of Northwestern guys drafted, and none of them really hit. And here we go again. We got Peyton Ramsey, played at Indiana for several years, transferred to Northwestern. Northwestern had a great 2020, but Northwestern's been having great years no matter who is quarterback. So Ramsey, does he have the experience level? Yes. Does he have a positive quarterback effect? Yes. Is the recruiting ease of schedule in his favor as a challenge? Yes. But he's a system quarterback. He's in a really good system. So that concerns me there. Same thing with Brady White. He has the experience. He has the ease of schedule in his favor. But quarterback effect, 2 years ago, really solid last year, not so much. And again, was this a system quarterback? Was he good when Norvell was there? It's on paper, it looks okay, but a little deeper look into that system quarterback. That's a concern. Ian Book, experience, yeah, he's been through the fire. He's certainly started enough games. Quarterback effect has been positive. Ease of schedule, it's a lot like Kyle Trask. Not elite talent at Notre Dame, but pretty damn good. He actually might be somebody 5th, 6th, 7th round, and as we know, most of those guys don't make it. But if you're going to use a pick in round 5, 6, or 7, I'm taking those three over Newman, Ellinger, Franks, Mond, and Mills. Period. No question about it. So, on the lower end, let's talk about these lower end guys. There's one that's in green, and there are five that are in red. Davis Mills out of Stanford is one of them. Experience, he doesn't check that box. Quarterback effect, does not check that box. Stanford has struggled. Does he have ease of schedule? Yes, he does. But a negative quarterback effect and not having the experience, comparatively, and I guess I didn't do that with Ramsey and Book and White. Ramsey's just like any other Northwestern quarterback, so that's his comparison. Mills, lack of experience and a negative quarterback effect. On this isn't a very common profile that comes out of a number 25, 30, 35, 40 recruiter. These guys usually stick around longer. So I don't really have a comparison for him. Same thing with Newman. He doesn't have the experience box check. His quarterback effect isn't positive. The games he played at Wake Forest were tough games relative to the talent around him, but like Mills, he misses the first two big boxes, which is experience and quarterback effect. So I don't like him at all under any circumstances. Ellinger, he's got the experience. He's been starting for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, I'm not sure, but his quarterback effect is profoundly negative, and his ease of schedule is not in his favor. He did not elevate this team. He did not elevate the program. And like I've always said, you don't win on Saturdays, you can't win on Sundays. Felipe Franks, experience, yes. Quarterback effect, no. Ease of schedule, yes. He just hasn't elevated the program at all. Just kind of like Ellinger, not as bad, but just hasn't elevated the program. So that quarterback effect is key. It has to be positive. It's got to be positive. The last guy in red on the list, Kellen Mond. I've got a lot of questions about him. He started a ton of games there, but his quarterback effect is basically zero, and he is on an extremely talented team. I mean, heck, the scoring efficiency of A&M last year was 55th in the country. He didn't do anything to take him to another level. So he's in red as well. The only one in the late rounds, and this would probably be 5, 6, 7, is Bouchel out of SMU. He has played in, started a lot of football games. His quarterback effect is positive, and the recruiting around him relative to the AAC and the rest of the schedule was pretty favorable. So all the late round guys, 5, 6, 7, the one that I like is Bouchel. So let's go up to the top six. Is it six? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's go up to the top six guys on the list. And we've got three in red and three in green. Let's start with the guys in red because these are, they don't have anything. Did they start enough games? No, none of them did. Was their quarterback effect positive? No. And in fact, it can't be because North Dakota State is by far the best recruiter in the FCS. So is Alabama. Ohio State's number two. They don't play anybody relative to their talent. The ease of schedule is not in their favor. These guys, and not these guys in particular, but guys from these programs, it's not an Ohio State Alabama thing. It is an elite recruiter thing. They don't make it unless they're forced to shoulder the load significantly. Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, these are the exceptions, and but they were forced to carry the entire team every weekend. Mac Jones, he didn't have to carry anything. Neither did Justin Fields, Trey Lance. These are next man up quarterback positions. The next guy up will put up huge numbers, get drafted, and make a ton of money if he can stay healthy. But comparison-wise, Mac Jones, Dwayne Haskins started a year for a great team, put up huge numbers, and is gone. Justin Fields. Justin Fields might be the closest one from a positive standpoint. I don't have a positive one for Mac Jones. Only positive one would be Cam Newton, and I'm not going to be stupid enough to compare Cam Newton to anybody. He's one in a billion. Fields might be closer to Kyler Murray, escapability, played on an elite team. Much better. Ohio State was much more elite than Oklahoma. Limited starting experience. So, for those of you that like Kyler Murray and like Justin Fields, that's about it. Trey Lance, there's nobody to compare him to. FCS guys don't usually come out early. The last one who did it was last year from, oh, look at that, North Dakota State, 2 years ago. So, yeah, there's nobody to compare Trey Lance to at all. Anybody that tries to compare him to somebody, look, Trey doesn't have hardly any experience level, no quarterback effect. The strength of the schedule that he faced was nothing. This is just somebody who there's really nothing to compare him to. So I guess on the plus side, you could say, well, his profile's never failed before because his profile has really never existed before. So now the three guys in green, Trask, Lawrence, and Wilson. Lawrence, he started 40 games, 41 games, I mean almost 4 seasons worth. So experience-wise, it's phenomenal. Positive quarterback effect, not a big one, because Clemson was, a 10, 11, 12, 13 recruiter, so didn't have a lot of opportunities to have a positive effect. Ease of schedule, really easy. I know I have yes in there, but it's not by much. Trevor Lawrence, it's it could be Peyton Manning, it could be Matt Leinart. We'll have to see. If he fails, it really won't surprise me that much. But he could be that one in a generational guy. I mean, obviously you have to pick him at number one. And like I said too, is the number one guy, QB1 in the draft. Even when the numbers aren't very good, these guys usually turn out pretty good. It's hard to screw up 1-1. Wilson, experience, yes. Quarterback effect, yes. In fact, quarterback effect went up each year. And ease of schedule, they had an easy schedule this year. Last year, not so much. I look at the body of work. I have it, yes, there. In terms of overall profile, these two have the the highest ceilings. But in there too is Kyle Trask. I would take Trask ahead of everyone else except those two. Trask has started two seasons worth of games. He has a positive quarterback effect. The ease of schedule is slightly in his favor. This is not Florida. This is not Tim Tebow's Florida that recruited in the top five. This is a team that recruits in the teens. And he carried it. The defense was bad. It was all about his arm. He's 6'5". I know I don't get into measurables, but when we're trying to find a difference, when I'm working with an NFL franchise, it's trying to it looks the quarterback's got to get drafted. People got to take risks on these guys. And to me, Trask is that best risk available. I see him probably third, fourth round. Someone could get aggressive and grab him in the second round. I think based on 20 years of doing this, his probability of success about 60, 65%, which is about 12 times better than the other guys, Jones, Fields, and Lance, that'll be drafted before him. So that is my official final word on the 2021 NFL quarterback draft situation. We're going to have to wait quite a few years to see how many of them are freezing cold takes. But in actuality, based on 21 years of doing this, anything that goes against the numbers or against the spreadsheet is an outlier. If Trey Lance, Fields, Jones, if they're successful, wow. If Trask and Lawrence and Wilson, if probably looking at two out of three being successful, anything less than that, again, an outlier. So take it where you want to. And the next podcast that we will do is going to preview the 2022 quarterback draft projections, because there's a lot of guys out there with grades right now. So we might as well get ahead of the curve and try to be smarter than everybody else and start projecting next year's draft before people even start talking about it. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this podcast and this series, and may your team draft well this week. This is Dave Bart to the College Football Matrix. Thank you for joining me.